Welcome to the Bike Life Podcast by Warm Showers Foundation, where we will be sharing knowledge, experience, tools, and stories of touring cyclists and hosts from around the world. I'm Tauber Lee, the woman behind the scenes at Warm Showers Foundation, the leading platform for cyclists looking for hosts and to connect with a passionate international community. Find out more by visiting us at warmshowers.org. Now, on to the show. Today, Alyssa Bell is here to talk to us about bike touring and backpacking and how it has changed the course of her life and her view of the world, as well as her sense of self in so many positive ways. She says that without the stories and inspiration of other cyclists, she doubts she would have ever had the courage to start down this path. Now, 20,000 miles later, she's excited to add her own voice to the table of conversation. She's the founder of Bike Sleep Bike, a community project featuring other cyclists' blogs. She also has an amazing website called Exploring Wild, where she has shared her journey from the very beginning until now. Alyssa, thank you for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I love these connections that have happened through the world of cycling because you and I actually didn't connect directly. You were referred to us, and I forget who. Do you remember who made this introduction? I know. It'll come to us before the end of the show. But yeah. It was someone sent us a message and said, we think that you should look at Bike Sleep Bike as a potential partner or guest on your website, because they found that what you were doing with this community project was extremely impactful. So we'll remember your name. But if you're listening, thank you for the introduction, because I'm really excited to have Alyssa here. So let's start at the beginning, which is the journey that you share on Exploring Wild. So let's start at the beginning. How did you get started in cycling to begin with?
So I came to cycling more from a travel background. I was working on my career in my late 20s, doing the thing I was supposed to do. Had had a fairly sheltered life and upbringing up to that point, and just hit a point where I felt like I just needed to go out into the world and see what else was there, because I had this sneaking suspicion that I was missing out on a lot of things. So I, long story short, quit my job and actually, without a bike — this was before bikes for me — traveled to East and West Africa for 5 months. And it was almost like a self-designed rite of passage for me. I mean, I learned so much about the world, you know, this part of the world that many people consider to be kind of scary or maybe off limits, especially for a solo woman. I learned that it was actually an amazing part of the world filled with helpful, kind people. And I learned that I had the ability to handle myself there and deal with whatever came up. And I learned that I especially liked traveling in places where maybe I wasn't expected to be there, where the interactions with people along the way were really authentic and vibrant and involved. And I had heard about bike travel before that trip, but honestly, I thought it was too crazy, too scary and too dangerous, at least for someone like me. And, but you know, something happened on that trip, 5 months of travel. And I came back feeling a little bolder and decided to take a jump and try this bike travel thing. So, bought a touring bike, and the next trip was 3 months in Southeast Asia, just riding around by myself.
Okay, wait. So you had never done a bike touring trip before, and your very first one was 3 months touring in Asia.
That's right. Well, I think I did 3 days once in New Zealand, on a rented bike with my husband. But yeah, first real trip.
Wow.
That's correct. I mean, I guess I find big goals challenging. You know, it's like a dare almost. I think of it, I have a hard time backing down. So that was the trip that kind of started it all. I was totally hooked. And after that, I've just been finding different ways to mix up the different riding styles and different places and just see what else is out there on the bike.
And so I'm curious, in between that time, did you pursue work in between, or did you work and then take sabbaticals, or were you able to work while you were touring?
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, it's something, it's still kind of in flux for me. I am very fortunate. I worked in tech and software for about a decade before this. So I had some savings. So I had kind of my little nest egg that made things not super urgent, which was really nice. I didn't work at all during those early trips. I was just there to experience things and did them off of my savings. When I came back, I was able to pick up some sort of consulting, part-time remote work. I was freelancing and working, building websites for clients for a while, which is also part of the story. Eventually started building my own website, and that has led to some sort of part-time income, but it's a constant puzzle to put all those pieces together. Yeah, for sure.
And I ask because it's something we don't really talk about it too much on this show. I know people are curious when anyone is cycling in the prime of their working years, like, how do they do it? And so, mm-hmm. Thank you for letting me ask that personal question.
Sure. Yeah. It's a tricky one.
So after 3 months in Asia, what happened next?
There was a series of things. So by this point, I was married to a fantastic guy, and I wanted him to, I sort of had this fantasy that we would cycle the world together, right? And he didn't share that fantasy. He was actually really enjoying his career. It wasn't the right time for that. So we decided that I would go alone. So I've been fitting my trips in sort of shorter chunks where I can be away for a while and then be home and still have a life here. So I was home for a few months after Southeast Asia, and then I went to South America. And that was actually, I got to ride for a couple of weeks with a friend there, which was super fun because I'd been solo for, I didn't know anything other than solo. but she came with me for a couple of weeks, which was amazing. And then she had to go home, and I stuck around for a little bit, went all the way down to the southern tip there in Ushuaia. And while I was down there, just having so much fun, I decided to ride across the US. So when I got back, so that was next. That was interesting because I discovered that I don't really enjoy riding on roads with a lot of motor vehicles, especially in the United States. And I thought that I could maybe, increase my average life expectancy if I found a way to get off the roads. And that was how I heard about, this bike packing thing where people were riding more dirt roads and trails. So promptly tried that out with a few shorter trips and have been doing a variety of other short trips in the US. And then my husband finally has been able to make more time for this kind of thing. I think he's seen how important it is to me, realized it. Maybe it's not just a passing interest, and he needs to figure it out. So we've taken more recently some trips together in Central Asia and Morocco, which were really special. So yeah, it's evolved over the years.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how being a newlywed, how that worked, but you just answered my question. he has jumped on the bike too.
That's right.
Yeah, really good. Okay, so at what point, did you start writing your own experience? Was that something that, along the way, had you always been writing your own experience, or did that come later? Because I'm wondering, where did, the sharing of stories become so impactful for you? Because I know that others' stories definitely influenced you along the way. So at what point did you start experiencing that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I came to appreciate other people's stories because of this need to understand if this was something I could do. reading that maybe I left out a trip too, by the way. I totally forgot to mention Egypt and Sudan, which was interesting because Sudan is a pretty conservative culture for women. So, for example, wanting to understand, can I go ride solo through Egypt and Sudan required me to actually go find stories from other women who had gone alone, because that was what allowed me to feel like I personally could do this. So originally, I Well, I was actually, I've always been a fairly private person. The whole website thing was a surprise to me and everyone who knows me, because I'm not really personally active on social media and tend to just go enjoy my travels. But coming back from West Africa, I found that I had some information about places that most people weren't traveling and like that just basically wasn't on the internet already. And I wanted to share that information with other travelers and especially other women who might want to know whether this could work for them. And that was the start of Exploring Wild. It was just a little travel blog. And as it started to grow and get traction, I realized that other people were now reading my stories and finding the same value there that I had found from other people. And I was getting emails from people saying, you know, I was really nervous to go to this place or do this thing, but I read your post and I have some questions. And, you know, so it was sort of full circle and started to feel like a way of giving back.
Mm-hmm. And I'm aware that your posts on Exploring Wild have significant traction. I mean, we're not talking three or four people are reading your posts.
It's grown. Yeah, I still think it was almost luck. You know, I'm not sure I even knew what I was doing back then, but a few things started to take off. And that was when I started to learn more about how to optimize a website for search engines and how to actually make sure that this content that I was pouring my heart and soul into was actually being seen by people and actually able to reach people.
So bringing your technical experience to the table, especially with SEO, I'm sure made a huge difference.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wonderful. So that sparked Exploring Wild. But where does Bike Sleep Bike come in?
Yeah. So Bike Sleep Bike is it's purely a side project. It's like a side project to my side project. Yeah.
It's a baby. So, it's a baby of the baby.
Exactly. Yeah. It originated, I think, actually during a period in the pandemic when I sort of wanted to be traveling and had a lot of energy for that, but couldn't go and was looking for a new project. So it basically combines, two of these threads. So the first is stories of bike travel from other people. And then the second is the website expertise. So I realized, so backing up for just a second, I think most bike tourers are familiar with platforms like Crazy Guy on a Bike and Cycleblaze, where if you don't have your own website, you can go there and write your trip journals and they'll be hosted there and you don't have to deal with any of the hassle of, of running a website. But there are a few bike travelers who have the skills and the interest to create their own websites. That was something I did with Exploring Wild in the early days. And the challenge there is that, you know, most people who are doing that don't have the time or the skills to really optimize them for search engines or really find ways to get visitors to them. So they're creating these beautiful sites with really helpful content. And very few people are seeing them because, you know, the way the internet works, if you type in like into Google, you know, bike touring in France or whatever, you're much more likely to find a company offering guided tours because that's their business and they've invested the money and the resources to optimize that. So it shows up first. So, right. So given my background with website creation and this empathy that I have for people who are creating content but struggling to get it seen, I wanted to create this hub, almost like a Crazy Guy on a Bike type thing, but it links out to individual websites that the creators made. And then the other part is just being able to very specifically go in, excuse me, and filter for exactly the type of bike story that you're interested in. So going back to what helped me when I was first working up the nerve to do this, seeing stories or being able to see myself in a specific story was really important. So I don't want to, I love reading, you know, about bike travel in general, but maybe specifically I want to think about bike travel in Africa as a woman alone and being able to go in there and filter for that specifically, I think is really valuable. So from the very beginning with Bike Sleep Bike, I designed it so that each link is tagged with a place and with a style. Maybe it's gravel, or it's sick trails, or it's paved bike paths, or and location and route. And then riders can even add their own, I call it tags. It's just kind of descriptors of themselves or their bikes. So people have added, solo female or couple or over 65 or person of color or, all families with kids, like just all of these tags where if you're looking for a specific thing and you want to see yourself in a place with your bike, you can go look for that.
Mm, that's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And I can see why so much of what you're doing now is related back to how it helped you to read other stories.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Today's episode is brought to you by BikeFlights.com, the leading bicycle shipping service and bike box supplier for cyclists. You'll enjoy low costs, excellent service, and on-time delivery with every shipment. And you get preferred handling for your high-value bikes, wheels, and gear. As a brand built around a love for the outdoors, they are committed to reducing environmental impact, and every Bike Flights shipment is carbon neutral. Join the nearly 1 million cyclists who have used Bike Flights to ship their bikes, wheels, and gear with confidence since 2009, and see how easy it is to book, manage, and track all of your shipments. Visit bikeflights.com/warm showers today for more information and to book your shipment. Now back to the show.
And so is there a particular story, and we're going to come back to Bike Sleep Bike in a moment, but is there a particular story or two that were more transformational than the others that you read? Any shout outs or examples that you can share?
Oh, among the ones that originally inspired
me? Yes,
Oh my goodness. Well, there's a lot. I will say the two that I found myself coming back to again and again, were women who had cycled all over the world. One is Jin. What is her URL? Universe with Me or something like that. And the other is Pushbike Girl. I don't know if these will probably be familiar to yes. some of the listeners. Mm-hmm. But at the time that I was working up the nerve to get on my bike and go travel, these two women had been like almost everywhere. And saying that was possible for them just really helped remove some of my excuses for, I can't go there or I couldn't do that, because they had, and they wrote about it in great detail with great pictures. And that was what I needed.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I always love to hear some of the original inspiration. And I'm curious, did you have a background in writing? Like, was writing or blogging a part of any area of your life prior to this? Or was that part of the skill that you learned in sharing your story?
Oh, I mean, I've always enjoyed writing, I guess, as recreation. I was decent at it, I guess, but had never written for this type of audience before. And that was definitely a skill that needed to be learned. I'm still working on it, to be honest, because the style of writing that feels natural to me is sometimes not the style of writing that people on the internet want to read, especially on Exploring Wild, where there's like very practical posts where people might be kind of skimming to look for tips or gear information or something like that. So the writing part is definitely still an ongoing learning process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're going to link, by the way, for everyone listening, we're going to link to Exploring Wild and Bike Sleep Bike in the show notes to the show so people can check out what we're talking about. So how many other websites do you currently feature on Bike Sleep Bike?
Oh my gosh.
Approximately. Well,
let me look. I have a count at the top.
so good. She's so technical.
Yeah, 227 different Amazing. Websites.
Now, is there a requirement or an application process for other sites to be submitted? Or a fee?
No fee. The requirement is just that it be a personal website. So like, and this can be a bit of a gray area sometimes, but like no tour companies or media websites. You know, it has to be a personal travel story about a particular place. So not about gear or, you know, how to go bike touring or that kind of thing. So very specifically stories about places. And the process, there's just a, there's a link on there. It says submit a blog post. It does need to be done for each post, which is kind of interesting. So people with like hundreds of posts sometimes ask me, unfortunately, I don't have a great way to automate it because it's this personal touch that really makes it so valuable, but you have to go in and actually tag it with the country and the style of riding, the type of terrain. And then there's some other tags, like you can add wilderness or culture or challenging or relaxing, you know, a few things like that, and people can choose. And then you just click submit, and I just check when when I'm home and not out on the bike myself. I keep an eye on it, and I approve new posts. Pretty much anything that meets the requirement of being a personal story about biking in a specific place gets approved.
Yeah, I love it. And those individual posts are necessary because you've created such a good search engine that without that, without individual posts being tagged, it wouldn't work that way. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what makes it's a little more work up front, but it's what makes it so useful, I think.
So you're doing all these great services of sharing information, sharing stories. It's really incredible, Alyssa.
Thank you.
So what's next?
So right now where I live in California, it's kind of, you know, fall is coming and winter's coming. And this is the time of year where typically I come home from a busy summer of adventuring and just rest for a while. So I actually don't know what's next in terms of bike trips. I've got wish list, you know, as always, but I don't have anything on the calendar. I'm catching up on Exploring Wild, and hopefully we'll be approving some new posts on Bike Sleep Bike, and we'll just see where the new year leads.
I love it. Wonderful. Well, I'm so super grateful for what you're doing, because I know that, you know, for us, of course, here on this podcast and at Warm Showers, storytelling is a big part of how we know it creates opportunity for others. And as you said, it gives people the vision to see themselves, to see what's possible. And, you know, the idea too, that you as a solo woman, right, we know that there are still challenges for women feeling like it's possible doing tours by themselves in foreign places. You know, I really love the way that you're featuring your story, you're sharing truths, you're opening doors that other people might not have experienced. And we want you to keep doing it.
Thank you. Thanks.
And keep us posted and how we can, you know, possibly work together to share more information, more stories, more, you know, personal websites that are doing great. And of course, we will do a post on our social media about Exploring Wild so people can come find you.
Thank you. That sounds great.
All right. So my final question is, any parting wisdom specifically to women that might be where you were when you began?
Yeah. I mean, people have probably heard this before, but it really has to be just go do it. Just go do it. You're never going to feel 100% prepared. I still don't feel 100% prepared. I still get nervous at the beginning of a trip. I don't think there's any perfect time to get out there for the first trip. Just find something that inspires you and also feels possible. So whether that's a big 3-month trip, because that feels like a dare and you know, you have to go for it, or whether it's an overnight to the campground, because that feels like something that you can wrap your head around at this point, like just pick something and do it. Cause it's such a journey. You're going to learn from it, and something else it'll evolve into something else over time. And you're just taking the first step.
Wise words, very wise words. And I'm sure your past self, heard that from others.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Alyssa. And for those of you listening, please go check out Bike Sleep Bike. It is absolutely amazing. And the search opportunities within that website will let you really dive into what it is specifically you're looking for. And then make sure you go and visit Exploring Wild, where Alyssa shares her own journey from the very beginning until now. And then, of course, watch and come back to her site so you are constantly kept up to date on her next adventure. Thank you, Alyssa.
Thanks.
We will be back. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Wherever you are listening, please leave us a rating and a review, as it helps us reach more cyclists and hosts around the world. Visit us at warmshowers.org to become a part of our community, or on Instagram at warmshowers_org. If you would like to be a guest on the show or submit a question, please make sure to email us at podcast@warmshowers.org.